He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, July the 14th edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now. Today definitely is a day for the inverse funds as the market is pretty much reeling here this morning. We've had a couple of economic reports, including the PPI. We'll get to that in a minute. The Dow is down 611. 30,162. It's time to look at that technical analysis and see where that support is on the Dow. I've been reporting on that every single week in the Gunderson newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. The S&P's down 70. By the way, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite. He'll be here with us in a moment. S&P down 77. That's 2%. 2% in one day, just like that, gone. 37.24. NASDAQ down 230, down 2%. Russell 2000 down 1.8%. That's the small caps. Crude oil down $4.60. 91.70. I think you're seeing the bottom being put in oil. From my mouth to God's ears, I think the tight oil supply is going to keep that commodity propped up. Gold is down $35. It's getting ready to break 1700, by the way. It's at 1700 right now. Will it hold? Silver is at 1811, down $1.08. The precious metals are just getting clobbered as the U.S. dollar continues to rise. How long can that last? We'll see. The 10-year is up 9 basis points right now to 2.99. I'm sure we have an inverted yield curve. I hadn't had a chance to look at the 2-year. We'll look at that in a moment here. Bitcoin is up 434, go figure, at 19,728. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now and Best Inverse Funds Now show. And get this, Barry, the 2-year is at 3.24. 3.24,
wow.
While the 10-year's at 2.99. We have now an inversion of 25 basis points. You think the bond market is expecting a recession?
Yeah, I mean, and it's just interesting how much buying you have on the front end, how high that's gotten. I mean, I think it's one of the biggest. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the biggest inversion since like 08-09, which you never like going back to using some of those date frames, right? When you go back to first times, kind of like the inflation numbers, when you got to go back to the early 80s, right, as to when you've seen those before. And then the PPI came in, as expected, super hot this morning as well. So not only consumers and producers' costs are going up.
11%.
Yeah.
On the PPI, that's the producer price index. And, one of the economists that I've always had a great deal of respect for, because he presided over one of the great economies of all time, is Arthur Laffer. I was shocked when I saw his comments yesterday. He said that, you know what, inflation is accelerating. Now, this is his opinion. It's accelerating, and they don't even begin to have a handle on inflation, which I've been saying, too. I'm no Arthur Laffer. Probably I have a lot of laughers out there, but I'm no Arthur. Anyways, I agree. I think that the inflation monster, once it gets out of that bottle, like the genie out of the, it's hard to put it back in, and they don't seem to be doing anything else other than just monetary policy. Yes. I would also say this, okay, earnings season is not off to a good start, and we have a very small sample. We have maybe 5 or 6 companies reporting. And I said at the beginning of this earnings season that I did not think that this would be a good earnings season. And I'm usually very optimistic on earnings season. And so far, those words have turned out to be right, as a couple of bank stocks, J.P. Morgan, for one, came up short. Fastenal came up short. Morgan Stanley came up short. We don't really have a winner yet in this very early. I mean, just really the opening pitch has been thrown out on earnings season.
Yeah, PepsiCo, I think, is really the one that that stood out, has actually had a decent report that I can think of, surprisingly enough. You know,
thank goodness for Mountain Dew. You know, it's keeping them alive.
Well, you'd think they'd have the most commodity costs.
You would think they would have inflation. But let me tell you this, okay, you know, you buy a 12-pack at the supermarket, and you always got to buy two. I can remember when they were $2 for $6, they're $2 for $12. Yeah. That's 50 cents a can now. So they're obviously passing the price along to the consumer, and getting away with it. All right. So 9.1 yesterday on CPI, 11 today on the consumer price index. I am very bearish on the financials. I have a large position, inverse position on the financials. There's several ETFs. There's a 1-to-1 inverse financial. There's a 2-to-1 inverse financial. We own the 3-to-1 inverse financial.
I saw their year-to-date numbers, because I think Morgan Stanley reported, I think it this morning, but it was, you know, it had all four, you know, four of the big, you know, Goldman, you know, and the other three big banks, and they're all basically down year to date like 28%. So it was,
yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of surprising just seeing all of those numbers together. And I'm like, man, that's a rough go.
Yeah, that's a rough go. And, you know, I mean, after the first half of the year, the only sector that's up in the market is the energy sector, which I want to talk about here in a minute. All 12 of the 12 other sectors in the market are negative. And, yeah, the financials, which is counterintuitive, but interest rates have not gone up like we thought they would. And, of course, business activity, they make a lot of money off of their mergers and acquisitions. That's where the real money lies for the J.P. Morgans and the Morgan Stanleys. And that activity has come to a screeching halt. They make a lot of money off of lending and all the fees they charge and whatnot. Mortgage way down, mortgage lending. So, like I say, I'm very bearish on the financials, and we have a large position inverse of the financials. Okay, let's see what else we have. There is so much news today, man. I couldn't remember if you were leaving, so I got up even earlier today. It's a good thing I did. Because just all the news that's breaking all around the world, you know, it just seems like there's a lot of commotion right now in the world, and it's kind of even difficult to stay on top of it all and you know, keep track of it. Now, there's one camp that says, oh, gosh, stocks are really cheap here, and, you know, they've never been this cheap in a long time. And you should be buying. And there's another camp that says, you know, wait a minute. They still have not priced in, you know, the earnings estimates for next year are still around $250 for the S&P 500. And we're starting to see more and more downgrades, as I predicted, to the target prices. There's a big one today, which we'll get to here in a minute. Okay, now, the fallout. The Bank of Canada today hiked key rates by 100 basis points. They went from 1.5 to 2.5. And guess what? Our markets now give a 49% probability of a 100 basis point hike at the next Fed meeting. I'm in that camp. You can count me as one of the 48% that thinks that the Fed will move by 100 basis points. After the PPI on Wednesday, or the CPI on Wednesday, the PPI today, comments from, you know, analysts like, or economists like Arthur Laffer about, you know, being out of control. He said it's accelerating. Inflation is accelerating. I think they're going to have to move. even faster. And no wonder that's why the Dow is down 584 points. And we have a large inverse fund on the Dow, a 2-to-1 inverse. So, you know, I mean, it's up 1,200 points today, right? On a numbers basis, if you're just looking at the numbers. So if the Dow's down 2%, it would be up 4%. So, you know, the inverse funds are coming in very handy today. All right, so traders now pricing in a more aggressive. I don't know when the next Fed meeting is. You'll have to check that during the break. But, you know, even the Atlanta Fed's Bostic said, he is considering a full percentage rate hike after the CPI surge, and I think it's going to happen. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. You know, I think the story this week, without question, is the inflation story, because we had a much, much hotter than expected CPI report on Wednesday, and then today we get a much hotter than expected PPI report. And the results of that is expectations of an even more aggressive Fed. What do they say? The Fed is your friend. Follow the Fed. The Fed is your friend.
Yeah. Don't fight the Fed.
Right? Okay. They're fighting. They're fighting us now. See, we had the wind at our back for the longest time with those dirt cheap interest rates. Well, you know, it was welling up and welling up, and finally something had to give. And, you know, those dirt cheap interest rates put a lot of money into the system on top of a lot of stimulus coming from Washington. And now you've got an inflation monster that we haven't seen for 40 years. Yes, I was around in the Jimmy Carter years. Remember that inflation monster. It's not pretty at all. And right now, this one looks like it could be taking off to be even worse. What happened to the word transitory? Huh? Yeah. Have you heard transitory?
Yeah, they sent that one. That one got packing. Once it was gone, it was gone. Right? They
never mentioned again. I will admit that they are at least. Admitting they were wrong, that takes, I don't think they have any other choice. I've heard Janet Yellen say, yeah, you know, we kind of misread it, the tea leaves. Well, boy, did you ever, and, you know, this is bad. This is really bad. Jobless claims rise 9,000 to 244K. I'm seeing one or two a day that I haven't seen. I didn't see any for the longest time. One or two a day, companies like Oracle, companies like Rivian, companies like Facebook, Twitter, actually laying off employees, okay? So that's kind of a new thing, new phenomenon. I think we've reached the peak in employment. Bank stocks slide after Q2 earnings season kicks off on a disappointing note. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I did not like this earnings season. I said, I don't think we're going to come in like we have and beat like we have in the past 80% of the company. I think we're going to miss that 4.5% growth at the end of the day. And that's all I'll say is we're off to a bad start, but so far it's just the big banks, the financials. And like I say, there are inverse funds on the financials. They did well in 2008. I think SKF was up like 400% or something in 2008 as Lehman collapsed and Countrywide collapsed and on and on and on. So anyways, the financials seem to be in play on the downside. Now, here's more fallout, okay? Bank of America, which owns Merrill Lynch, let's not forget, slashes S&P 500 target price. Okay, a mild recession in the second half of the year will weigh on the broader market. Well, you know what? I can make it through a mild recession. If it's just two quarters and then bang, we're back to business again. I hope they're right. But listen to this. In light of that, the Bank of America equity team is lowering its S&P 500 2022 target price, that's this year, to 3,600 from 4,500. Okay. That's a big drop. And by the way, that's in line with what we've been.
That's a 20%, that's a 20% drop from where their target was.
Okay. You're getting Bill Gunderson's weekly market outlook. My target price for this year is 38.76, and it will probably go lower this week after these inflation reports and after the start to earnings season. So they're down there with us when you still have people at 5,000, which is absolutely, utterly ridiculous. And I've been telling you that, too. And I said, watch for these companies to not only start lowering their target prices, but also their earnings estimates. And that's another thing that Bank of America addresses. I got to see where they're going with their earnings estimates here. Let's see. So many stories today. It's just incredible. I got to scroll through all these stories here. Okay, here we go. Bank of America lowers their target price from $4,500 to $3,600. Their earnings estimates, this is critical. They cut their forecast for this year to $2.18. Okay, that's about where I am. And for next year, they cut it to $230. The consensus is at about $249. $249 is the consensus. They're at $230. They're a little bit lower than we are, but I got to believe we'll be going lower, too. So, Barry, you can't put a 20 multiple on that $230 in earnings estimates.
No.
You've got to put about a 17 multiple on $230.
Yeah, and that's where I think the, you know, historically, right, what should the, you know, the multiple be, right? And there's some leeway there, 16, 17, whatever it is. But, you know, the one piece we've had, you know, good clarity on, right, has been the earnings side of things. Well, now, right, if we get some downward, you know, expectations going, you know, on a go forward basis, then there's some repricing left to do in the equity market. So it's I think that's why we were talking about this earnings season being, you know, very important, because it's gonna give us some go forward guidance for the remainder of the year.
And it's gonna tip the market one way or the other. Now at 17 times earnings, $230, I get $3,910. That would be their target price, somewhere in that neighborhood for next year. And we're down closer to that number than we are to the 4,900 consensus estimate that's out there on the street. So, you know, I'll be doing mine again tomorrow. I update all of the various sectors and stocks and their earnings estimates for next year and stuff. It's quite a process, and come up with my own estimate. But we've been dropping ours. We've been way ahead of the pack. We were way ahead of the pack in being above the consensus, and we were right about that. And we've been way ahead of the pack in dropping our earnings forecasts and consensus. Now, here's more good news. Well, in fact, when we come back, we're going to discuss in the next quarter energy, because that's the other big elephant in the room, because it's causing most of our inflation is energy. And there's news out of the Nord Stream pipeline, which has been shut off due to maintenance. And there's supposedly a part from Canada that's being shipped to Russia. What's the current status of all this, and what's it doing to natural gas? And what's my prognosis for energy prices going forward? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The Dow is down 1.9%. The S&P is down 1.9%. And the NASDAQ is down 1.7%. And the small caps are down 2.1%. On all those indexes I just named, we do have inverse funds on them. All right, now let's take a look at the news. I want to talk about oil in this second half of this show. I went through my entire database yesterday once again of over 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, and I looked at a lot of charts too, as I always do. It just looks to me like, even though the oil stocks and oil is down today, it looks to me like the oil stocks are bottoming. All right, that's just, you went through a 25% correction, 20 to 25% correction on a lot of those oil stocks. And I think that EIA report yesterday about oil was going to be extremely tight for many years. Yeah, you know, like we said yesterday, Barry, that's not something you can give up easily and cut back on. You know, unless the economy takes one heck of a hit. And right now, this turbine that's supposed to be returned from Canada, there's no sign.
The part. Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah, right?
I don't think it's coming back on. So natural gas pops 8.5%. We got hotter than normal temperatures ahead. And just wait, we'll have colder than usual winter, especially in Europe. And there's a chance that they may not restart that pipeline at all. I mean, they don't care if some people freeze to death. What do they care? Now, in the meantime, there's a lot of strange occurrences happening. In the U.S., we had the 20% of our liquid natural gas taken offline by a fire at the plant down there in Houston. Yesterday, Kinder Morgan's Tennessee Gas Pipeline declared force majeure, which means extreme emergency, after two fires, okay, one in the Tennessee Gas Pipeline. Now, they could be just natural occurrences, all right, and one in Pennsylvania. This takes a lot of gas. The Tennessee gas pipeline links the northeastern U.S., all you up in the northeast, to the Texas Gulf Coast. It's one of the largest pipeline systems in the U.S.
Well, and that's, I figured out how important those things are. When I lived in Nashville, they had a, it was for, and it was, I think it was unleaded, I think it was gasoline that actually went through the pipeline, and it had a, there was a problem in like northern Alabama, something of that nature. And literally, I felt like, you know when a when we have a hurricane warning here, right? You have to start driving around. There's no gas. It was like that in Nashville for like, I don't know, a week and a half. I mean, I felt like, it just didn't seem real, because obviously you don't have hurricanes in Nashville. But it's, I mean, one pipeline can affect so much. It just,
we don't really know yet how this is going to impact, but the fire, the first one was in McKean County, Pennsylvania, which affected 300, they use weird abbreviations that I don't understand, 330,000 DTH. And another fire was same day was reportedly identified at a station near Hamilton, Alabama, which was said to impact 375,000 DTH. It's an 11,900-mile pipeline linking the northeast U.S. to the Texas Gulf Coast, the largest pipeline system in America. All right, so there's that. Now, Chevron CEO says oil market remains tight. Price decline may be short-lived. Okay, I'm in that camp. Crude oil has slipped below $100 a barrel as recession fears rise, but Chevron CEO Michael Wirth told CNBC on Wednesday that the price downturn could be fleeting as the oil market remains tight. Okay, so, you know, you've seen the prices come down at the pump. Not much. A little bit, not much. But, you know, I would listen to the Chevron CEO before I would listen to, you know, the energy secretary and others that are saying oil prices are coming down. You know, there was some short-term demand destruction, but the CEO of Chevron pointed to factors that could lead to longer-term demand resurgence, including an eventual full reopening in China, which has not happened yet. Okay, China is not back up and running yet. That's to come. And global energy markets are also being reordered after Western nations slapped sanctions on Russian energy. And I saw that the UK slapped a 25% windfall profit tax on the oil companies yesterday. The CEO of Chevron said they are working with the Biden administration on near-term energy situation. And let's not forget, our president is in Saudi Arabia tomorrow, trying to get them. They've already said that they're running at max capacity, so I don't see a lot of hope there. So anyways, there's that, okay? And let's not forget that yesterday, the executive director of the International Energy Agency, Fatih Birol, warned this week that the worst of the oil supply crisis might not be over. So, you know, it's kind of hard not to be a little bit bullish on the oil patch. The only sector that was up out of the 13 sectors in the market, Warren Buffett, nears a 20% stake in Occidental Petroleum after new purchases. Okay, that's Oxy, O-X-Y, which I saw somebody put out a sell signal on that stock. Buffett didn't hear it, nor did he listen to it. He's buying more. There's that. Okay, so that's my take on oil, all right? I still remain bullish on oil. Yes, it's been a pretty sharp pullback in it. It's down again today on all of this recession talk. But supply and demand is what it comes back to at the end of the day. All right, let's see. Now we'll turn to crypto. We had a big company fall yesterday. They filed for bankruptcy. I think that was after the close yesterday. Celsius files for bankruptcy. There could be other dominoes to fall. But BlockFi CEO is trying to bail out a lot of these companies. They say, we're the Goldman of crypto, not the Lehman Brothers. Crypto will survive this downturn. Okay, that's according to BlockFi founder and CEO Zach Prince. Should we be all over Bitcoin at this level?
I just don't like the fact when you have the word Lehman Brothers in the middle of a story.
I think I'd rather invest in oil than Bitcoin. That's just me. Okay, now, Barry, what's up with Boyd? I see it's way up today. We can't say anything else other than we own it right now.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride.
What happened here?
So, you know, a couple of days ago, of course, you had, Buffett, who's had a stake there for since 2008, was going to, you know, essentially realize his gain and sell about 225 million shares. That's the rumor.
That's a rumor.
Still haven't seen that
yet.
And so the stock, you know, basically dropped about 17% within 3 day trading session. It's now up big today on a profit outlook. They're cranking these cars out. They took over as the biggest manufacturer over Tesla earlier this year. They're going from over 100,000 vehicles produced a month for the last 4 months. They're planning to be close to 300,000 in August, according to this report today. So really ramping up production, and that ties into great profitability because they're scale, you know, actually being able to get scale.
And the headline on Seeking Alpha says on this story, Warren Buffett-backed BYD. So apparently, you know, I don't know what his...
He's still there, yeah.
We don't know what his status is. Nobody has said a thing. Expects net profit growth between 138. Their growth in profit, these triple digits, 130 to 206 in the first half of 2022. I mean, that's like growth that Tesla had, you know, maybe a year or two back. Tesla's leveled off a little. It's still growing very, very quickly. But boy, does that 138 to 206 BYDDF, which we do have a position in. I got a hunch we'll be talking about some inverse funds when we come back, and a few other stories here that look kind of interesting. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You gotta go the way you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I talked to somebody the other day who had an account at Merrill Lynch. He asked about inverse funds. We don't do that here, is what he was told. That's for short-term day traders. We don't do that here. Well, you know,
that's
so
surprising. I mean,
the biggest hedge funds in the world, why do you think they call them hedge funds?
Right.
Because they hedge. They're you know, during bad times they hedge, or at times they could be all on the short side of the market to make money in a down market if it should break support and really start to accelerate to the downside. So anyways, I think it's, I don't know what they're thinking, and I know that at Vanguard you can't even buy one. So that's like, you know what? I can't get an umbrella. We don't sell umbrellas here. We don't sell raincoats here. We don't sell, you know, things that you might need in bad times. So anyways, look, we do go there, and we do own quite a few of them at the current time. And I'm generally pretty optimistic and pretty bullish, but I don't like the tide that turned from falling interest rates to rising interest rates. That's a 40-year event. That's as long as the children wandered in Israel, right? Children wandered in the wilderness. That's a big event, 40 years. It's a long time. And all of a sudden, we've got rising interest rates. And isn't it strange that we went 40 years without inflation? And now we're back to 40 years ago when we really had inflation, 1982. And the only thing that finally quelled that inflation was a pretty deep recession. We don't know if that's going to happen this time, but it would seem that at least the mild recession that Bank of America is talking about is, we're probably already in that. Okay. So there's not massive layoffs. There's not soup lines, this kind of thing. We may skate through this. We just have to see. We take it a day at a time. But it does seem like the storm clouds continue to gather, meaning more inverse funds are probably needed at this time. So I'm going to discuss a few. I'm going to discuss two long stocks. One we own, one I have my eyes on. You know, Boyd is one of the few long stocks that's up today. It's up 6.3%. And if you look at the gainers in the market today, there's hardly anything other than inverse funds, or, you know, like $1 stocks, 80 cent stocks that are up today. The top stock in the entire market is up 11% today. You know, usually you have some 50, 60% winners, but that just shows you the breadth of this sell-off today. So, I mean, that one is bucking the trend. Yes, it was down yesterday. We don't know if the rumor is true or not that Buffett, I don't think it would make that much of a difference to me whether Buffett, you know, he bought it in 08, right?
I mean, right. I mean, he's taking a profit. And how much do you really think, how many input-wise, right? I mean, how much do you think he's really inputting, you think he's really having in a Chinese EV maker,
he's
right?
He's a passive investor.
I would imagine, very, very much so. I mean, otherwise you end up disappearing like like Jack Ma or something. You know what I mean? It's not like he's directing their
no.
He's not directing their you know, go-to-market strategy.
Okay, and if you go back to 2008, the stock was trading under $2. It was trading between $1 and $2 per share. And today it's 37. So think of the profit that, you know, whatever he invested in it originally. Are you saying his current stake is 250 million?
Yeah, well, it has 225 million shares, which it comes out to around 7.6. I think it's a 7.6% stake, somewhere of that range.
Okay.
But I think it's what he started with. I mean, it's a pretty round number. You know, but that's why, you know, the rumor was that he's selling because apparently. 225 million shares hit right the basically the trade desk. Not that they were like actually on, up for sale, but essentially they're going to try to probably work that trade into the system, right? And so the person who owns 225
right.
million shares right happens to be Warren Buffett in Berkshire. So
yeah, and I mean the stock is just really the company's starting to really accelerate their production. Who knows? Maybe China's going to be the leading EV maker in the world. I saw another news item that one of them is setting up shop in Miami. NIU, N-I-U, is setting up shop in Miami. Now, they're more scooters and whatnot, but I think NIU has some other things. I think they're starting to get into delivery trucks, too. So will we see someday Boyd EV cars here in the U.S.? You know, we let Japan in many, many years ago. That turned the auto industry upside down. But they seem to be rolling out electric cars. Will we be seeing freighters of Chinese electric cars in our port here? I don't know, in Charleston Harbor at some point in time. But there seems to be, that's the other rumor I've heard, in addition to the Buffett rumor, is that, there may be somebody he teams up with. Who did you say it was? Didn't you have a possibility?
Oh, yeah, in terms of who Buffett teams up with
to sell in the U.S.
Yeah, they have their own website. Like, so when you go to you go to Boyd, they have a Boyd U.S. website.
Oh.
But I don't know. In terms of manufacturing here, I'm not sure. I believe they've sold some electric buses to a few municipalities. So
okay,
they're really kind of making a lot of headway. And like I said, they're going from 100,000 vehicles to the last 4 months. They're gonna gonna be close to delivering, I think, 300,000 in August. So I mean that's a quick ramp.
Okay, so with just a couple minutes remaining, 1 minute remaining, the inverse fund I would mention today is FAZ, which is inverse the financial sector three times. It's one that we own. And here's my little story. How bad is the supply chain? I got a little scrape on my door, on my car, and the door needs to be replaced, okay? It's not like all bashed in and all this and that. But I went to the dealer, and at least 6 months. I mean, they're just saying that, right? 6 months. It could never come in. That's how bad the supply chain is, folks. 6 months for a car door. Well, Barry's leaving. I'll be doing the appointments over the next couple of weeks. Call my appointment setter, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And you have a nice trip, Barry.
Thank you, sir. Take care, everyone.
All right. Take care.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.